Israel had a passion for the truth. And that's why the ninth commandment insists upon truthfulness. The Exodus version, if taken literally, reflects a legal context where perjury is forbidden. You shall not answer against your neighbor as a lying witness. The Deuteronomy version shows a wider concern for truth-telling in all relationships. You shall not answer against your neighbor as a witness of emptiness. So either at court or in normal relationships, Israel set a very high standard upon telling the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. So help us God. Now, during the last week of Jesus' ministry, good and decent people, in their anger against this itinerant preacher from Nazareth, ran roughshod over the ninth commandment. First, as witnesses of emptiness, they spread lies and rumors and insults about Jesus. Then, as false witnesses, they committed perjury against Jesus, both before the Sanhedrin and the Roman governor. They brought to a crescendo the many lies told about Jesus from day one of his ministry. Charges that he performed miracles by the aid of Beelzebub, and charges that he broke the law of Moses, all were lies. So during his triumphant entry into Jerusalem, his supporters greeted him joyfully with cries of Hosanna, waving their palm branches and spreading their garments before him. They welcomed him joyfully. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. And because Jesus' opponents would not see the truth, they were blinded by a lie. They wanted to silence Jesus' supporters during the procession. Teacher, rebuke your followers. They became, in a word, witnesses of emptiness, peddlers of a deadly deception. And in response, Jesus challenges their blindness. I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out. The truth will out. It must be heard. And every effort to suppress the truth is a lie and a cover-up. So Jesus' triumphant entry boldly proclaims to those with ears to hear, let the truth ring out from the rooftops, that the King of glory may come in. Jerusalem, this is the time of your visitation. Now you remember that Adolf Hitler in Mein Kampf wrote this, the great mass of people will more easily fall victims to a big lie than to a small one. Now, the big lie against Jesus was that he was a donkey-riding, table-turning militant, and he was an imposter and a claimant to the throne of David. The many ways that this big lie was used against Jesus, we'll have to see. First, in the Sanhedrin, the Jewish high court. So, accusers step forward and become false witnesses. They falsely charge that Jesus said, I will tear down the temple. They perjured themselves against the way and the truth and the life. And yet the gospel tells us, almost in disbelief, these perjurers could not get their stories straight with one another. For many bore witness against him, and their witnesses did not agree. Ah, the web of deceit is often a tangled web indeed. Now, the big lie continued when the religious leaders, the very guardians of the ninth commandment, carried their baseless accusations before Pilate. The splendor that was Rome resided essentially in her legal system, her ostensible concern for equity and justice. And yet, in the governor's palace in Jerusalem, perjury prevailed. Falsely accusing Jesus of political insurrection, he says he's a king. One lie followed another. Is it any wonder that Pilate, perhaps exasperated with all the false testimony, blurts out, "What is truth?" I imagine many judges want to say the same thing in court. Who could discern any truth in this jumble of charges? I have a friend who served for many years as a prosecutor, and she once said to me, "After a while, you come to think that the only time people lie is when they open their mouth." She stopped being a prosecutor, by the way, for that reason. How many lies had Pilate endured? The small lies and then the big lies. Here, the big lie triumphed. Perjury against Jesus meant quite simply one thing: death. And the big lie continued even afterwards, when Jesus' disciples were accused of doing what? Stealing the body. Lies led to Jesus' unjust execution, and lies defamed him even after his burial. So for Christians, then, the issue of truthfulness is of paramount importance, most poignantly during Holy Week. In her wonderful book, Lying: Moral Choice in Public and Private Life, the Harvard professor Cecilia Bach traces the three major consequences of lying and deception. First, their impact upon us personally. Secondly, how lies impact our relationships with others. And thirdly, how deception undermines our relationship with God. Lying, first of all, hurts oneself. The lie causes a loss of faith, a loss of self-esteem, and loss of faith. The word integrity comes from the same roots for intact and untouched. So something deep within us is damaged when we lie. It is painful to have to admit, I too can lie. Sometimes we discover it's easy to tell the first lie, but it's hard to tell only one lie. We resort to shoring up our first lie and become anxious lest it be uncovered. After such careful tending of the lie, we then have to admit, I too am a liar. The harm to our souls is immense when we succumb to deceit and deception. Remember how Peter found out the hard way when the cock crowed after his third denial. Secondly, lying directly impacts other people and sometimes the whole community. Augustine famously wrote this: "When regard for the truth has been broken down or even slightly weakened, all things will become doubtful." Lies destroy the network of trust among people. When I was in seminary, I spent the summer of 1973 in Washington, D.C. as a student chaplain. I ended up spending, strangely enough, a great deal of time attending the Watergate hearings in the Senate office building. I saw and heard lies, big and small, that would ultimately bring down the Nixon administration. The parade of perjured witnesses was astonishing and really quite appalling. Seems like these days we're seeing a replay of those days of yore. I'm reminded of Samuel Johnson, that English wit, who once said that even the devils themselves do not lie to one another, since the society of hell could not exist without the truth. Can any society exist when, after hearing any newscast or reading any newspaper, you put it down and you're forced to ask, who's lying here? These are troubling times, sisters and brothers. Jesus knew it was a troubling time, and therefore he wept as he considered that Jerusalem would embrace a big lie about him. Woe that even today you knew the things that make for peace. Believing the big lie about Jesus led to disastrous consequences for the city of David. And lies have destroyed many communities. The big lie still has disastrous consequences for our community and indeed our nation. Lying, thirdly, deeply impacts our relationship with the Lord of truth. To live a lie is to undermine our journey of faith at its core. It leaves us lost and confused. Too often, we fail to tell the truth to ourselves about ourselves. Scripture says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The truth about ourselves leads to repentance, and confession leads to renewal and joy and peace. From the cross, we hear finally Jesus' most poignant words, Father, forgive them. They do not know what they are doing. We come to know ourselves as we truly are from the cross, sinners saved by God's amazing grace. And here, I think, is what Holy Week calls me, and I hope it calls you to do. We're called to tell the truth, to live the truth, to proclaim the truth of God's amazing grace in Jesus Christ. Paul said it so beautifully. Therefore, putting away falsehood, let everyone speak the truth to their neighbor, for we are members of one another. And he also said, speak the truth in love. It's all about integrity and wholeness, living up to what we say we believe, and trusting always this marvelous promise of Jesus. You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Friends in Christ, Holy Week is a clarion call for truthfulness, being truthful to ourselves, with one another, and most especially with our God. Deception and falsehood, they're ruled out. Only the truth will make us free, truly free. Paul says it so wonderfully. For freedom, Christ has set you free. Yes and amen. And thanks be to God on this wonderful Palm Sunday of the beginning of Holy Week. Amen.